In all the years of this community and its predecessors, we've never done this before like this. So in that sense, today is truly historic, because this is a marker moment. This is something, actually, I don't know many other places that have done it like this. So actually, as usual, we are making it up as we go along, but that's not quite what we're doing. Because we're pioneering, that's the word I was looking for, we're pioneering, something new. Because what's going to happen today is I am going to hand over to Rupert the team leadership of the team of leaders, which we call the community of leaders of Community Church Edinburgh. For those of you who've been around any length of time, you'll know that Community Church is not led by one man or one woman or one person. It's led by a team, but it's led by a plurality. We believe in plurality of leadership. But that team has direction, that team has anchoring, and I've been doing that for the last, I don't know, 7, 8 years, I don't know how long it is, but for quite a while. And it's now time for me to hand over. I had a picture this morning while I was praying. I want to be very brief with this picture, but it actually is a picture of, I sense what is happening. As I was praying this morning here, I love praying here in this building, because I can make as much noise as I want. It doesn't disturb anybody. At least I don't think it does. I haven't had any complaints. And as I was praying, I heard a bell. And it couldn't have been a tram, because they're way down in Princess Street. But I heard a bell. And I heard the Lord say, Colin, it's the end of your watch. It's the end of your watch. It's the beginning of Rupert's watch. And as I heard those words, I saw a great ocean liner, something akin to a QE2, or I don't know what the latest one is. I was going to say the Queen Mary, but that really dates me if I say the Queen Mary, or the Queen Elizabeth, the first one. But something like that, cutting through the ocean, and it was night time, and actually, it was party time too. And people on board were doing the stuff you do on an ocean liner, on a cruise liner. But then I felt God say something as well. He says, on this vessel, there are passengers and there are crew. And there are passengers that the liner is carrying to their next destination. And there are people who are with us, who I know some of you are here, who we love, who won't be with us for much longer. Some of you are going on. Some of you are only here for today. Others of you are here for months. But there's a whole number of us who are on this for the duration. Crew, people who are all involved by their ministry and their service. Now, I've actually never been on a cruise, but I know that a cruise liner takes a huge number of people to actually man it and woman it, to be gender inclusive. And so what I sensed God saying was, we're on this journey and we're heading for a destination, and we need each other in it, and we need all the service that one another bring. Because if you're like one person standing on a bridge, looking at the way ahead and turning a tiller, can't do the whole job, can't lead the whole thing. And so I sense that as God is calling Rupert to take over, if you like, on the bridge, there's also a call to all of us. Because the other thing I felt the Lord say is that this is not a pleasure cruise. We are not on a pleasure cruise. It's pleasurable, and there is partying going on, but actually we're on a rescue mission. This is a rescue ship. And God is taking us into zones and uncharted waters in the future, and is now, where we will need to be rescuing people from a declining situation in this nation, from a situation where people are losing hope and losing meaning, where we're seeing suicides going up, where we're seeing depression going up, and we have hope and we have meaning. And God is saying this is not a pleasure cruise, although it will be pleasurable and you will have fun together, but for those of us who are crew on this liner, the future is to rescue. And the future is to bring that rescue through the hope of Jesus Christ, for there is no other hope. So actually, our destination, as Rupert comes, I'm confident he's not going to be changing direction. He's not going to be turning the ship around and heading back the way we've come, or turning left and going over somewhere else, all right? Actually, we're going to continue in the direction we're going in, but under his watch and under his eye, keeping his eye on the horizon, on the star. And for me, I'll be doing other things on the boat. More of that when I come out of my sabbatical back in September. And I'm really grateful to you, by the way, I need to say this, as a community, I am very grateful to you for allowing me to have this time off that's coming up. It's time off, I'll be writing, I'll be studying, I'll be preparing, I'll be visiting others, seeing what God's doing in other places around the world. But I need to halt there, because otherwise I'll talk too long. So I'm going to invite... No, actually, first of all, I've got something to hand over. I said it was a handover. Actually, I ought to show this off first. I just want to say this is something that's quite beautiful. It's a marble bowl. And it's even more beautiful because it's the work of the hands of someone in this community who has a great gift from God to shape this stuff. Carrara marble, this is. And I just want to say thank you, Ali, for doing this for us. It's very important. And it says on the bottom a scripture that I'm just going to read when Rupert comes forward and when we have asked Alan and Lizzie forward. It just says John 13. And it's got Ali's sculptor's mark on the bottom as well. So you can have a look at that later if you want. But I'm going to invite Alan and Lizzie and Rupert to come forward. Rupert, for those of you who don't know, just come forward just now. Rupert, for those of you who don't know, has been on this journey with us, I think probably all your adult life as well, have you not, practically? So beware, those of you who are 18 or so, you may get here stuck here for good. But he's been on that journey, and this has been a training, this has been an experience. We've worked closely together, and I'm so confident and blessed at being able to hand on this sense of direction to him. And Alan and Lizzie are, you know, sometimes you go through places with a big ship, you need a pilot. You can't get through unless someone comes aboard and tells you where the channels are and how to get through. And Alan and Lizzie have very much been to us pilots, and they come aboard from time to time. They've got us through some very tricky situations, some very tricky channels. But also they speak about the way ahead, which is exciting, and they speak about future destination. And you keep turning up. And it's great that you keep turning up. So we're really grateful for them being here. They come from Southampton, from New Community in Southampton. Alan may talk a little bit more about what he's doing later on as well. He's involved beyond Southampton. But over the years of our relationship, we've really valued having him around. So what we're going to do simply, first of all, is I just want to read this scripture. And I then would like to pray with Rupert, and then I'll hand over to you guys to say something, if that's all right. If you want to say something, Alan, at that point.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Why don't we stand? I feel like we should stand. We don't stand a lot in this community, so we'll stand together. We stand together. That means we're all involved in this. This is not just something that's happening between two people at the front. So with this bowl and this towel before us, this is a scripture that is inscribed on the bottom of it. It was before Passover, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to return to the Father. He had always loved his followers in this world, and he loved them to the very end. Jesus knew that he'd come from God and would go back to God. He also knew that the Father had given him complete power. So, during the meal, Jesus got up, removed his outer garment, and wrapped a towel around his waist. He put some water into a large bowl. Then he began washing his disciples' feet and drying them with the towel he was wearing. And John goes on later to say, after Jesus had washed his disciples' feet and had put his outer garment back on, he sat down again. Then he said, do you understand what I have done? You call me your teacher and Lord, and you should, because that is who I am. And if your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you should do the same for each other. I have set the example, and you should do for each other exactly what I have done for you. I tell you for certain that servants are not greater than their master, and messengers are not greater than the one who sent them. I just want to hand this over to Rupert as a sign of it's your watch, Rupert. And I just want to read a few words for you from nearly 200 years ago, from a man of God by the name of Edward Irving, who was a man of the Spirit who served God in this nation and in others. And he was giving words of advice and wisdom to someone who was taking on from him ministry and service in the Kirk, as it happens. And this is what he said, and I love these words. I would say them to anyone who's entering into service. Don't turn yourself into a mere sermon maker or a talker or an orator or a clerk of religious accounts or a committee man or a polite payer of visits or a drudge of any kind. Seek your God in your secret place and in your study. Be alone for hours at a time. Be fervent in prayer and meditation. Commune with the prophets and the apostles and saints and the martyrs and Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Do this, I charge you, so that the church may not ever be ashamed of your ignorance or of your unprofitability, but may rejoice over you as a good and skillful soldier. Father, I just want to bless you for this moment. I want to bless you for raising up Rupert as one among us who is acknowledged, recognized, known. I thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit you've put within him. I thank you, Lord, for the leadership that is upon him. And Lord, I just thank you that as I hand over this bowl and this towel, a sign of your servant leadership to us as your people, we know that he will carry that well and he will carry that truly until the time comes for him to hand that on. So I pray your blessing, your power, your might over him and into him, into his family, your protection upon Pippa and the children, upon them all. And I pray, Lord, that we will be able to walk with him and to support him and to be with him through thick and thin, through good times and rough times, the storms and the calm. And bring us, Lord, into that place where we fulfill with one another and under Rupert's leadership of the team, your purposes for us as a people. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus, our towel-wearing King. Amen.
Okay, thanks, Colin. Can you move forward, both of you, for a minute? Okay. This is a special moment, which is a privilege for us to be here for. This is recognizing, I believe, something that you recognize. I hope that's the case. That you've recognized Colin as a team leader, but you are recognizing actually that this is a time for handing over that role to Rupert. But it's not just about Rupert and Colin, it's actually a recognition of a community of leaders who represent you. And I'm going to invite that community of leaders to come out now and join us, if you would. And I'd like Pippa to come as well, please, if you would. Okay. And what I'd like us to do, this is, in one sense, this is about a handover, the helm. Someone who's had the watch, if you like, someone else is taking on that watch. It's about this handover, but it's actually about every single person in this room. This is representative of everything that's going on in this room, this community. Everything you touch and represent, this is what this is about. Okay? So as we pray, and I'll talk more about it later, but as we pray, you are stepping into something as well. As Colin is handing over this leadership, he's actually handing something over to you as well. And that's quite intangible, difficult to express, but that is what's going on in this moment. And so we're going to pray together, and it may be you have some words, and I'd like you to bring those words, but perhaps as we break bread later on, that might be a good time to write down those words and to bring them for Rupert particularly, as he's representing you as the team leader here today. So we're going to pray. I want us to gather around and pray. And if we've got prophecies, which I hope there are some, I'd like Rupert to stand in the middle, and Colin, could you start by putting the towel around his shoulders? Rupert, I'd like you to do it forward a bit more. You can come alongside him. Come on. Okay. Okay, so let's just close our eyes if that's what works for you, or if you need to keep your eyes open, fine. But let's just pray and in our hearts raise up our hands as if we are touching Rupert ourselves, that we are imparting something of our agreement and our heart in this moment. And we are in this moment laying hands on, which means that there is an impartation of the Holy Spirit. There is a how represents, there is a mantle that is being transferred, and we're bringing the mantle from Colin to Rupert. Okay, so let's pray. We come as your representatives, Lord, each one of us here. And we say, yes, release your Spirit. Impart that mantle, that anointing for leadership upon Rupert. Release the anointing that was on Colin for this, but also release that which is peculiar and special and real and vital for who we are here today in this community and this city and this nation. Lord, we pray, release your Spirit, because there is so much we want to see happen in these days. In this man represents our dreams. Not that he carries them for us, but in him we're saying yes to your kingdom coming on earth. We're saying yes to all that you call us to. So come and anoint Rupert now, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, Rupert, I had some verses for you from Micah 5. And verse 4 says, "He will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. He will take his people to a place where they will live undisturbed. And he will be highly honored around the world, for he will be a source of peace. He will be known as a peacemaker." And as I was praying for you this weekend, I just felt an overwhelming sense that you know what it is to be a son of the Father God. And his pleasure is upon you, not just today, but throughout your whole of your lifetime, right from the beginning, his pleasure has been in you, and that will continue, and you will be aware, much more aware of his favor and his pleasure within your life, and his favor through you towards people. And you are a safe pair of hands, but there's something about you that will help unlock more of heaven's options to people. Just really felt that because you have a heart that's similar to your Heavenly Father's heart, that he just wants to say to you that there are always options. There's always options. Options for people, options for the community, options for Edinburgh, options for Scotland. And there's going to be an increase of influence coming out from this church that will influence not just the community here, but out through into Scotland. And I just felt that this church is moving into a time of summertime, and that there will be summer dew here. And it's just a sense that the people here will have a unique freshness about them in their walk with God, that they will be a people who hear God for themselves. And that's because of the way you and Colin and the leaders here have led the people. And I just wanted to say that there's a majesty here. There's a majesty here, and God wants to come and reveal more of what that majesty means. And there'll be more of heaven's miracles, heaven's healings in every sense, heaven coming to earth. You'll understand more of what that means to be walking in the kingdom. But most of all, this will be a people group here that love God and follow his heart.
I just want to say something this morning of just honouring and blessing of three people in particular. I guess one thing I like about growing older is perspective that you get, looking back. And as Colin said, I've been part of this church since I was a child, and I've now been married to Colin for 30 years as well. And there's a certain perspective that brings. And I want to honour Colin today. For who he is to me, who he's been to me, and actually who he's been to this church, because there has been a faithfulness. You've been part of that crew for a long time and have continued to crew and to stand in the gap. And I want to honour you for that. And it's interesting that Lizzie was saying about summertime. When I wrote down a few things that I just felt I wanted to say about you, I then wrote that actually this church is going to be able to blossom because of where it is now. And that's down to your faithfulness and your holding over this time. And it's interesting, this is May, the trees are covered in blossom. And just as a community, as we look around and we see that blossom, I believe that's the season that we're in. And the season we're entering into, and I want to honour you today. And Rupert, for you, we go back. I remember the times as a student when you'd come round and have meals in our house, and I've watched you grow, and in from a young student into a man of God with a family. And I've watched the integrity grow in you as well. And it always makes me smile when I texted Colin the other day and I put your name in, and predictive text always puts purist in instead of Rupert. And there's something in that, you know, there's something of a purity of heart that's been growing in you and is growing in you. And you've been teaching us on the Beatitudes, haven't you? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so I want to bless that in you. I say, I've noticed that in you. I see it growing in you, and may it continue to grow in you as well. And Pippa, Ecclesiastes talks about there's a time for everything and there's a season. And I just want to bless the season that you're in. I recognize that season of working hard and of motherhood and of family. And I want to bless you in that season and to say that we value you. We value you as a woman in this church. We value you as Rupert's wife and as the mother to your children.
I just have a sense, Rupert, of my heart is to want to give you permission to be yourself. And I just feel that would be echoed here amongst this group and amongst the whole church. That there's, I almost see a picture of you having been in a slipstream, like a cyclist when they're behind someone else and they're protected from the wind, and there's something about as you come out of that slipstream being hit a little bit more, being more aware of the wind, of that pressure that's on you. And I would just want to say keep going, don't worry that it's going to knock you back, but you have permission to be yourself and also to not get it all right. That's okay. Yeah.
It's says in Ephesians that when Christ ascended, he gave gifts to men. And it's no hardship to say Colin and Anne have been a gift to us, been a gift to me. And I value Jesus's gifts. He gives good gifts. Very good gifts. They're packaged beautifully, and when you open them up, you find treasure. And I believe that Rupert and Pippa are gifts that Jesus has given to us. And we're going to find the packaging is good. And when we open it up, we're going to find something wondrous, because it comes from Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the ruler of the nations. He's the King of Israel, and he's been given all authority. And he's chosen to delegate and to give on that and to give it flesh and blood through real people. And so we're standing here today acknowledging that God has given us a gift. And it's good that we give thanks for the gifts that he gives, and that we treasure them, and that we draw out of them the very best that he intended. I believe, Rupert, you're holding in your hands a beautiful prophecy, a wondrous prophecy. And it's a token of the tenor of your time, and you'll have it to remember, to remind you regularly that Jesus, the master who you follow, is a servant of all. And lastly, just as Anne was speaking about when she first knew you, my first image, just to share away secrets, of Rupert was of a wholeheartedly abandoned and devoted worshiper who was always on the front row before everything began, and was wholly given over in his love and his devotion to the Lord. It impressed me as a young man to see that. And I believe that the beginning place is what gives energy to continue. Colin spoke about, he read that scripture, that quote about spending hours, spending much time before the Father. And he just reminds you, you know, where you began is your energy to continue. Find me often. Find me wholeheartedly, give yourself to me, and I'll give myself to you.
Okay, before we finally wrap up this bit, I just want to speak over you, Rupert, that you are a carrier of fire. You're going to be releasing fire right across this nation, not just in this community. You're going to see healings and miracles. You're going to release it amongst this community so that it can go right across this nation. But you are also going to see salvation. You're going to see this nation transformed. And within you, you carry that hope and that dream. And I believe that is God speaking, that he wants you to give your attention to releasing those things.
So I just want to pray over you, Rupert. You've had to put up with a lot in this journey. Some of the most difficult things that I think anybody has walked through in their journey in leadership. You have walked it really well and really inspirationally. You have kept your eyes on Jesus, and you've journeyed and you've deepened your relationship, and you carry something of his heart even more strongly now, it just continues to, your walk with him continues to deepen and be an inspiration. So and you do put up with all of us as well. So Lord, I just want to thank you so much for Rupert, the gift that he is to us, the journey that he has walked, the crucified life that he has led, the journey of the cross, the deeper journey into the arms of the Father. And he is now becoming that Father, and becoming more like the Father than the prodigal son or the older brother. He is the one that is constant, has been constant in this church for all of my time here in pursuit of you. And Lord, we just pray that as he continues to pursue you through all his faults and all his
his own weaknesses, Lord, that you would just be his strength, that you would be where he can lift his eyes to you, that you would be his hope and his strength and his joy, and just help him to be more of the man that you've created. And Lord, I pray for all of us that we would learn from Rupert. We would help Rupert. We would challenge Rupert. And we would love Rupert. Spirit, just help us as a body to really set ourselves apart in this way. So yeah, Lord, just bring a releasing of freedom. That your yoke would not be a burden, God, but it would be light. And you would put people around Rupert that would lift him, encourage him. Thank you, God.
Just a very quick thing. I just wanted to, maybe people have heard this story, but when I first got to know Rupert, Colin came and asked Andrew and I if we'd put Rupert up in our house for, if he could come and stay with us for 4 weeks, and he stayed 4 years. So I just, want to watch out. And I just, having seen Colin, and particularly seen Colin and Rupert's journey together, it's one that's really blessed us. And Colin is such a discipler of young men, and he really brought Rupert up at that time and just really journeyed with him. And I think there's a tremendous ability to allow someone to grow up, and just say we've enjoyed seeing that journey and encouraged and excited by the future.
Okay, we're now going to hand over to Rupert to actually respond to that. And put the bowl down.
My arms are aching. The kids have been fantastic. If we could just indulge you just for a few more minutes, and then we'll start the children's meetings. But thank you, that's meaningful. But I guess what's on my heart this morning is to thank Colin. And there's three stories I just want to say about Colin. I came here in 1989 as a young student, and I met Colin for the first time sitting just where Ewan and Helen were. And I think that week I went round to his house. Becky was a wee baby. Abby was not even thought of at that moment in time. And one of my first encounters with Colin was his arms that have hugged and hugged me. And in fact, even the other day, Colin, you described yourself as a hugger. And Colin has hugged me in the painful moments and in the good moments. He's hugged me at times where life has been tough. And he's also hugged me at moments of great celebration when I got engaged to Pippa or got married and other times like that. And those arms have held me, and I think they've held us as a church over the years. Those arms have been around us through turbulent times and difficult times and good times, and they have held us. And I don't think it's any exaggeration to say we would not be who we are today. We would not even be together if it wasn't for Colin. And I want to say thank you for that, Colin. The second story actually ties very much in with what Kirsty said. We were away at a Scottish Leaders retreat or conference or something, and I think I was in my late 20s, and I don't know if you remember this, Colin, but there was one time in the worship time when Colin, I was kneeling on the ground, and Colin came and linked his arms with mine. Do you remember this, Colin? And it has had a huge impact on me. And Colin said to me, I just want to recognize that our relationship is changing and will change. And it will change from being a discipler and a disciplee or something like that to being friends and co-workers. And there is that sense of those arms linked, which has been a very powerful image for me, and that's had a huge impact. And again, my sense of Colin recognizing and guiding and walking with me and walking with us so that we can walk into and who we are today. And that, for me, that guide. There's the hugs and there's the guiding. And then the third image, at some very turbulent and difficult times in our life as the community, the image of Colin just with arms outraised, head lifted to heaven, singing Outrageous Grace. And Colin has consistently led us to Jesus. He's challenged, he's provoked, he's prodded, he's encouraged, but he's led us to Jesus. And I think that's the one of the things that I'm most grateful for what Colin has done. And I think today, there's a real sense Colin is a father, and once you're a father, you never stop being a father. And Colin is a father in this place, and he will always be a father in this place, and I'm so pleased that he's not going anywhere at all. But there is recognizing that something is happening and something is changing. Maybe it's a little bit like the kids going off to university or getting married, and there's a relinquishing of responsibility. But I know that those arms around us, those linking arms guiding us, and those arms lifted to heaven in prayer leading us to Jesus will still be what you offer to us as a church. But my prayer is that in this new season for you, Colin, there will be a letting go of some of the burden that you have carried. And we just want to say thank you as a community. We really appreciate all you've been. And we have something for you, which I think Chris has got now. So, Colin, do you want to just come forward here?
Well, Colin, we bought this really nice bath towel. I know you're going to need it. We were at an event recently. It was there was worship happening, and there was also artists who were painting during the worship. And this was one of the paintings that was painted, and it was left up on the stage during the main presentation. And I looked at it and I thought, it's one of those modern art which I never did quite get. It does have nice colours. It's got orange, and there's some blue which offsets. Those who are artistic-minded, colour-minded, blue and orange, they go very nicely together. Just a little bit of blue, a lot of orange. I was prepared to accept it. It's okay, it's doing me good on the colour front. And then as I looked at it a bit more closely, I thought, I can see something in that, I'm sure. I'm not sure if I'm kidding myself, but I think I can see a dancer swirling around, worshipping the Lord. So not only does it have color, but it also has worship and meaning. So just as a little quiz, and anybody who knows the answer is not allowed to answer, tell me what you see when you look at this. Colin, you may want to stand back a little. And I'd like to hear what you see. If you know you see it, then you're not allowed to answer. What do you think you see? Yes. Shout it out. If you've got an answer, shout it out. Oh, you guys, you're far too clever. Okay. So somebody, one of my friends, very spiritual, said, I see an angel and he's stabbing a demon. I thought, really? But as you look closely, and those of you who haven't got it yet, there is a face looking upward in worship, looking upward to the Father, to his Maker. Can you all see it? Do you get it?
There's the ear.
There's an ear. Here's the eyes. Here's the nose. Here's the mouth. Do you see it, Colin? This is a face. And when we were thinking, what can we give to Colin to mark this time? I remembered this painting, and I remembered the face, and I remembered the delight in finding something that I hadn't realized was there, and then suddenly discovering something beautiful. And it's a face turned upwards to God. Colin has given us many, many things over the years, but more recently, one thing he's really helped us to know, and understand is that God, when we seek God's presence, we're not just seeking an atmosphere, a cloud, a nebulous thing. We're seeking his face. We're seeking a relationship face to face, cheek to cheek, even mouth to mouth. And Colin, we thought, I hope there's room in your house for this. And Anne, I hope you don't have to dust it too often. But we wanted to give it as a way of appreciating you, Colin, for that message and for the messages and for the life, the words that you have brought to us over the years. And to remind you of your life and your source of your life face to face with God. So this is our gift to you. And thank you again for your gift.
Colin, this comes from the community. In your absence, we had a little whip round. And there's also a check inside here, which is the extra. And we really hope and pray for you and Anne that you'd have a really blessed, relaxing, invigorating and re-envisioning sabbatical. And come back and bring all that you are, because we so appreciate you and so appreciate what you bring. And today really is a day about Colin transitioning and letting go, and I'm just so impacted by Colin's humility. But I do just want to acknowledge Anne. Anne's not transitioning in the same way. Anne's leadership in Hope is fantastic, and leadership in CCE, in a sense, there's nothing changing there. But Anne, we do want to acknowledge that you've been a wife to Colin through this time, and you've seen the burden that he's carried probably more than anybody else. And you've been impacted by that as a wife. And we really appreciate your support of Colin over the years. We appreciate who you are, but today particularly just want to acknowledge that you have supported Colin in his role and his ministry, if you like, in this church. So thank you very much. And I'm hoping that right now there would be aha. And thank you. So why don't we just give Colin and Anne a really big round of applause, and thank you very much. Say too much more about Alan. There's probably lots that we could say, but so appreciate his friendship and that piloting of the liner that you've been, Alan, and it's just lovely that you can be with here with us and Lizzie at this very significant moment in our journey together. So come and speak to us and bring the word of the Lord. We're looking forward to what you've got to say. Can we just pray?
Yeah.
Father, thank you. Thank you for Alan and Lizzie, and we bless them, Lord. Bless them for their faithfulness to us, for journeying with us, for coming and helping us navigate through some good times and some hard times. Thank you for their wisdom and their perspective. We ask that you'd help Alan just to share today some things that will help us see what you're doing amongst us. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive, and to see something that is beyond the natural, to see heaven and earth mingling together. So, Lord, we pray, open our eyes to see and our ears to hear, in Jesus' name. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow, that's not an insignificant moment we've just witnessed and are witnessing that we're part of. And it is a real privilege for Lizzie and I to be here. We've been praying about this for the last, I don't know, certainly 5 years, about how this should happen. It's more than a change at the helm. It's more than a change of watch. This, for me, the word that summarizes this moment is convergence. There's something converging, there's something of an alignment, there's something coming together. There's an agreement taking place in this moment that involves every single person in this community. And I suspect, I've already have a feeling that it's changing something across Scotland as well. That's the indication that I'm feeling that God is saying, that something's happened here that's going to have a ripple effect across other churches in Edinburgh. And for me, convergence is about a new era. It's about stepping into your inheritance. It's big word, inheritance. What's that mean? I'll try and unpack that, but that's for you to go and do a bit of homework on as well. But for me, it's your destiny, what it is that you are called to. It's about changing the landscape. It's about repositioning. It's moving something and changing the landscape, changing the way you see things. And it's the right moment for this to take place. It is the right moment. But it's more than a date. It's a season. So this convergence that's taking place, this moment of this happening, is actually a season that I believe we'll see this happen again and again, not too many times here, I'm not talking about here, but it will change the way things are across this nation. So this is a season change. In Psalm 133, we read about a psalm of ascents. We see that as one of the psalm of ascents. And that those are representative of a journey toward God. And it speaks of unity. Let me read from the Passion Translation this psalm to you. How truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. That's what convergence is. It's coming together. It's as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down on his beard, running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. This heavenly harmony can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. For from this realm of sweet harmony, God will release his eternal blessing, the promise of life forever. So the psalm speaks of unity that leads to transformation. Convergence is about unity. It's about having a similar heart, of coming together of one mind. But it's not about conformity. Unity is not conformity. It's about non-conformity in some ways, but it's about diversity. It's about a variety, about releasing so, so much more. It's about aligning and agreement with heaven. Because heaven is coming and it's blessing this. So it's alignment, it's agreeing, it's saying, we agree, heaven, we've come into alignment, we come into agreement with what God says about this. We started to do something which actually God intended in the first place that hasn't happened in this community before. So something radically has changed, and it may not seem that significant today to some. To others, you may think, wow, that was amazing because it's never happened. So something of agreement with heaven is taking place, which is incredible. And it releases that blessing of life everlasting. Now, I believe Rupert embodies that convergence. He embodies that as a catalyst for change that includes everyone here. And it extends to partnerships that I believe are growing with other churches, that will allow different experiences of church and different labels that we understand, they will begin to disappear, I believe, or not be as important as they have been. And we may say, is that possible? I mean, the church has been so separate for generations. Is it possible that that could change? Is it possible that we might see that partnership, that convergence taking place? Well, let me put it to you another way. What do we agree with? What do we believe? What God says or what we experience? If we live just with what we have experienced or with our circumstances and we agree with that, then that is impossible. But if we agree with the prayer of Jesus that they may be one, then actually the impossible is possible. So for me, this is about beginning to see an alignment, an agreement with what heaven says that should happen. And what has happened here today is about beginning to change the way we think about what heaven says. And not letting circumstances dictate how we should respond. Mark 10:27, if we're in any doubt about this, it says, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God. And so we need to realize we're coming into a possible, everything is possible season. That's what it's about. So I want you to declare, just out loud, back to me, everything is possible. Okay. Healings and miracles are possible. Transformation is possible. The salvation of this nation is possible. Unity is possible. That's agreeing with heaven. That's what convergence is about. And that involves every single one of us. Now, I'm quite clever. I realize that Psalm 132 comes before Psalm 133. And I believe it lays the ground for unity. And I think that's what Colin represents. He's laid the ground for unity. And if you look at Psalm 132, it captures the story of David's journey and example. And if you look through that, you realize that actually the groundwork has been laid for unity. It's hard work. David did a lot of hard work. He broke through in all kinds of different ways. And the mark of that groundwork is a man after God's heart. David saw something precious. He pressed through to take hold of it, and he took hold of it with all of his heart. It requires a heart for God to see Psalm 133 emerge. That is seen in 132. And I think you've got, in these two guys here, amazing heart men. And that is the foundation that we need to build on, is people with a heart after God. And I want us, I want us to understand how important, I think it's important we understand this season that Colin is entering into. And honor both Colin and Anne for what they have done, their contribution. They saw something precious when no one else saw it, held on to it, and pressed through. They held the church so it could re-engage with its inheritance and its destiny. And it was costly. It wasn't something that they just shrugged their shoulders about. They actually thought, if this is my life, that's what it's about. So just for a moment, I'd like you to, Colin and Chris, if you just go and pray for these two now on our behalf. I just want us to pray that as they enter into this season, I believe that God is making a space for Colin. But in making that space, he's making space for everyone. So it's not just about Rupert. It's actually about all of us. I think for Colin, this is going to be a season, Colin, for you, where you're going to be saying, oh, I feel I was made for this. This is so enjoyable. I think that you're going to hear him saying that. This is the most fruitful period of my life. I think he's going to be saying words like that. So expect that, but he's got to go away and find that out first. So I think for you, there is an inheritance, there is a destiny that is being released and being unlocked in this change. And for me, this is about three things. That it could be many things, but I'm picking three. Generations, It's about sons and daughters, fathers and mothers. So fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. It's about dreams released for everyone. And by that, that's heaven coming to earth. That's a realization of what heaven represents or contains for us, which in simple terms means God's heart for every single one of us. And it's about mission being activated. There is an apostolic call on this community that is for the sake of the world. It's not to say, aren't we great? It's actually, isn't the world great? It's understanding and realizing that Jesus loved the world. So it's understanding that's what it's about. Generations is not about a baton being handed on in a race. We were talking about, didn't want to use that word. Because if you drop the baton, what happens? You've lost the race. And that isn't how it is within the kingdom. You don't lose the race. God is actually for us to win the race. Every single one of us, he's saying, I want you to win. I'm actually going to make it possible for you to win the race. Don't worry about how that could be possible, because in God's economy, that is possible. Every single one of us, he wants us to win. But this is about a family handing on father to son and mother to daughter. It's about being inclusive. And when we talk about generation, we don't think that now this generation is taking on. We actually need to think, actually, that's an inclusive of all generations. Every single age in this group, it's not anyone is excluded, all are included. Whatever age, whether it is a tot, or you're a grandfather, or great-grandfather, or great-grandmother, or whatever age you are, it doesn't matter. You're part of this generation. And that's what it's about. And we have missed that. We've not understood that. It is so that my ceiling can be your floor. So whatever I achieve, you can actually achieve more. And it's not, as a dad, I want my kids to succeed, and I want them to take on from what I've done and do even greater things. And that, I get really proud about my kids when they do that. And I get even more prouder when I see my grandson, who's really not that big, beginning to represent that as well. There's something about the father being very proud about seeing that transference taking place. That's what it means about generations. It's not about me thinking, oi, you're taking on what I should be doing. That's not a father. That's not a mother. So it's about generations. And it hasn't happened often in church. And it is painful. I've heard churches where the leader said, well, we've done this, but actually we're going to step back and you've got to start all over. And that is wrong. It's not about everyone having to learn their own lessons. We don't have to learn the lessons over for ourselves, but we can actually learn the lessons that have been handed on to us. Dreams. Dreams being realized for everyone. Dreams unlocking and opening up possibilities. There is so much, much more to be done than you have ever thought was possible. You may think you're doing a lot, but actually, there's so much more that could be done. And it's not about feeling overwhelmed by that. It's actually realizing that within God's heart, there is everyone, there is an answer to. There is a diverse way in which the church needs to express itself. That we can't, as church, just be so one-dimensional. We need to be thinking much more broadly about life. When Lizzie and I handed over our leadership, we did this ourselves 2 years ago. We are now raising up leaders. We're now duplicating who we are. We're now releasing other people's dreams. We're now enabling others to plant churches. Because we've done it, we know how to do it, and others are now beginning to do that. We're releasing other people's dreams. We found a partnership with the Methodist Church, and I'm particularly involved in the southwest of England, where they're saying, come and help us. And that partnership is about mission. And we're releasing mission into the Methodist Church. Now, you haven't got the same, but you've got the same needs here. You may not have the Methodist Church as a significant church in this area, as it is in the Southwest, but there is a partnership that is releasing dreams, that is releasing possibilities, that is unlocking things. There are church leaders down in the Southwest that were just sort of looked down in the mouth and unhappy and are now smiling. That's what it's about partnering, because they're now believing it's possible to see the salvation of that area. That's what dreams are about. And that's what it's realizing for you here. And as Colin, he isn't Lizzie and I, and he's not going to be doing the same as us, but I believe he will release others' dreams as well as his own as he steps into this space. I believe he will see heaven coming to earth, the kingdom coming. David pursued his dreams. We read about that 1 Samuel 30 when he was in crisis and his group of men down in Ziklag, they've gone away and come back and their families have been ambushed and taken away and his men were thinking of killing him, stoning him. He encouraged himself. He reminded himself of what God had said. And what he did in that moment was he pressed through and he got back not only all of the families and all the possessions that had been stolen, but so much more. And that is the mark of someone who has a heart after God. And then we see the story that as he becomes king, and you can look at this yourself or refer to Psalm 132, that in 1 Chronicles 13, I think it is, David's first act as king is to dream. And he dreams about bringing the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, back home. First time he fails. And there is a breakthrough, there's a breakout, which I'll talk about in a second. And then the Philistines attack David, and there's a breakthrough of God again that comes. But in this case, David learns and presses through and defeats the Philistines. 3 months later, we read in 1 Corinthians 15, he then tries to bring the ark back to Jerusalem again. How many of us would give up? First time, failed. God was angry. David presses through because he's a heart after God. And he presses through and tries again, and he brings the presence of God back. He brings the presence of God back. That is so important to David. There's a convergence of his heart with heaven. And he is so determined, he's so focused on the presence of God, of his gaze on heaven, that he is determined to see face to face God come and be at the heart of Israel. Now, in that convergence of heart with heaven, there is a turbulence. When you read about convergence, you see there's a convergence of tectonic plates. They collide, it's a convergence, and it causes earth tremors, and it causes volcanic eruption. It causes turbulence. And so don't be surprised when in this convergence that there isn't turbulence. But don't see that turbulence as an enemy thing. Recognize that this is about life. This is about the inbreaking of God. This is about coming and bringing life to us. This planet is continually in turbulence, and that is why it's alive. That is why it's alive. And we need to learn to understand what that turbulence is about, what that convergence is about, and learn to handle it. It's like learning to surf the wave rather than get pounded down under the wave. It's learning to catch the wind of the Spirit rather than being blown away this way and that. It's understanding that there is a turbulence that is coming in this season, which is God. And let's not be afraid of it. It's about mission activated. There is an apostolic call to the nations. This nation, but also to the nations. It's about church planting. It's about being an apostolic and prophetic people. It's about resourcing this nation. It's about salvation. It's about miracles. It's about momentum. When David settles into his palace, he suddenly looks on and he says, we have lived in homes for 200 years, but God has lived in a tent all of that time. Is it not time for us to build a place for God? So he says, right, let's build a place for God. And in his pursuing of the presence of God, you see a revelation of his own call and destiny. And you read in 1 Chronicles 17 that God says, I will build a house for you, a dynasty of kings. And through you will come the King of Kings, the Messiah, who will change the world. That is what it means to see mission activated. As we pursue the presence of God, the face of God, I believe he will release our destiny. Do you know, the funny thing about David is, having realized that promise from God, he still pursues the presence of God. He finds a place for the temple. He finds provision for the building of the temple. He instructs his son Solomon as to how to do this. He doesn't give up because he's so a man after God's heart. And I think that's what we have in Colin. He won't give up on this. Even though Rupert may be leading now, there'll be that pursuing of that. And we need that for all of us, because that is what unlocks, ultimately, that new era that God is releasing. There is, for all of us, a bigger prize to pursue than what we've had so far. There is a line for us to cross. And in a minute, I want you to do that. I want you to cross a line. Because there is a change of position for every single one of you. There is a change in that position. When you move from one place to another, you see things differently. So there's a change of perspective. There's an adventure to engage in. This is going to be fun. There are dreams to realize. There is heaven to bring to earth. It's risky, but that's what faith is about. It's dangerous, but that's what community is about. If we didn't do something because it was risky or dangerous, we'd never do anything. But it's worth going for, because when we do, we come alive. And heaven invades earth. I want you to stand. I want to invite Rupert to sit on a stool around about the center there. Because this isn't about Rupert doing lots of stuff. This is about representing something. And I want you to close your eyes, because I want you to imagine something first. I want you to allow God to reawaken dreams. And I want you to say, yes, I'm willing to be awoken in that. There's some of you here that have a memory loss problem, and I'm not talking about, there is one person that is actually has a physical or a medical condition, and God wants to heal you this morning. But there are others who are here who've lost your understanding of what your destiny is. It's just gone, and God wants to restore that memory to you in this moment. So I want you to say, that's what I want. Yes, Lord, come, restore that. And also restore healing to that person who needs it. There are people here. There is one person, a lady who has a growth on her right breast, I believe, that God wants to heal now. He wants to take that fear away, but he also wants to heal you. There's someone here who has a growth on their right foot that God wants to heal. And he'll do that right now as you do this crossover in a minute. There are healings that God wants to release here today. But not just that you will be healed, but that others would be healed through you. There are miracles to be released here today, not just in your life, but so that others will see the miracles of Jesus. Not just through your life, but you'll bring those miracles. There are things that are going on in this place, in this moment of convergence, that I want you to catch as we cross over. And it's like you're crossing the Red Sea, but it's not like you're crossing the Red Sea, because this is a convergence. This is where a unity comes. And as you cross over, there is a blessing that God brings. And I want you to receive the reality of that blessing. And I want you also to receive a different perspective. And I'm asking that God will bring a heavenly perspective as you move in a moment. So as you just catch that for a moment, just hold that before God. And anything else that you really are asking God for in this moment, just ask him now. Okay. You may be still asking, but I'm going to ask you now to turn to the center. And I'm going to ask you to do something really chaotic and strange. And I ask you to walk from one side of the room and swap over to the other side of the room. Okay? Just do that now. You notice the different perspective? Did you notice the colliding of people? That's the unity. There's something, there's a change that's taking place. Did you notice that Rupert didn't do anything? It's not about Rupert doing things, it's about what he represents. There is a convergence, there is a catalyst here. It's not about him doing things. But you've just said yes to something which I don't think we fully understand what that means, but there's salvation here today. There are healings here today. I want you to close your eyes. I'm going to read to you something which I'm going to finish with, and then we're going to worship. And if during the worship you want to move back, that's fine, because I know what that's like. You don't have to stay where you are, but I just want you to close your eyes and receive this. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul's saying this. When I think of the wisdom of his plan, I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on the earth. And I pray that he would pour out over you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. You want that again? I pray that he would pour out over you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows. Then, as your spiritual strength increases, you will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences. The great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement. Beyond academic knowledge, this extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church in every generation through Jesus Christ. And all that will yet be manifest throughout time and eternity. Amen. So let's worship. Let's just acknowledge in this moment that this is something has happened that we'll be telling the stories of for years to come. Let's not be afraid to dream the unbelievable, to risk the impossible, and to take hold of the promises that God has put in you, the dreams that are just awakening inside of you in this moment. Just let them stir and let them grow. Amen.